I certainly enjoyed the sweet spirit that we've had in the meeting this year. And one of the things that I always enjoy, whether in USA or in Canada, is none of the preachers are clones. They're just themselves. Amen? And that's exactly a strength, I believe. Having labored in Great Britain for many years, one of the things that I got frustrated with is if you heard one British preacher there, you heard them all. The whole delivery and everything was the same. Psalm 119, please. I want to commence reading at verse number 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy words have I hid in mine heart. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. I want to speak to you this morning on the subject of the Word of God and the God of the Word. I was made aware recently how much we take for granted having the Word of God. A friend of mine telephoned and asked me if I could help him find some scriptures in the Chichewa language. Spoken in Central Africa, I think in Malawi. And he'd been unable to find any, calling the various Bible societies in the USA. And I did a little searching and trying to find something for them. I finally found a booklet in the Chichewa language and the possibility of a recording in the Chichewa language. But let me ask you, where would you be if Chichewa was the language of your heart? Even though we have ready access to the Word of God, do we avail ourselves of that ready access? It's amazing how much we know, even as preachers, and our folk in our churches, about the current events, about things on television, about sports, about certain political things, and the caring and the making of a living and for our families can just crowd out the very Word of God. And I honestly believe that folk in North America who have a Bible in their home will have more responsibility before God than a Chichewa speaker who's never seen a Bible. Now, let me say, there may be one in that language. We can't tell from our contact thus far. I want to remind you that the purpose of the Bible is to show us the true God, to show us the truth about that God, and to give us truth from that God. Now, having said that, we seem to be taking our Bible for granted, don't we? Some of us have been concerned that many of the publishers who publish Bibles seem to be getting further and further away from the publication of the King James Version. And yet, I suggest that if they were to cease publishing the King James Version, many of them would be in financial difficulty. Something even more serious is that we tend to take God, who's revealed in the Bible, for granted. Remember what the psalmist said, keep back thy servant from presumptuous sin. Of course, the idea of presumptuousness is to take something for granted. We do that in our family. We take our husbands and wives for granted, or even our children for granted. Beloved, we can get into difficulty with God because we take for granted having an access through Him, to Him through the blood of the Lamb, and through the Lord Jesus Christ in prayer. And we have the possibility of getting in trouble with God by taking for granted that we can hear from Him, the God of heaven, through the blessed Word of God. Notice the psalmist said, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto, according to thy word. They might hear the word of the Father and reject that word. But, beloved, if we hear the word of God and fail to heed that word, we get into trouble with God. Now, notice, if you will, the remedy for that is to hide the Word of God in our hearts. Verse 11, Thy Word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Let me ask you, what Word have you heard hid in your heart this week? We are to be a holy people. Leviticus 20 and verse number 7 says, Be ye holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. And when we neglect the Word of God and neglect to hide it in our hearts, we're opening ourselves to sin against God. Again, we're talking about the Word of God and the God of the Word. Turn, if you will, to 2 Timothy, chapter number 3, a well-known verse in our discussions here in the Dean Burgon Society. And notice verse number 15. Paul, writing to his young son in the faith, Timothy, a ministry-gifted young man, an elder in one of the churches, that Paul had been led to found, said this in verse number 15, And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. I want us to look, first of all, as we think about the Word of God and the God of the Word, to remind you that the Word of God is holy and the God of the Word is holy. Now notice, if you will, that this word Scriptures, which of course derives from the Greek word graphos, is grammata, translated Scriptures, and it's joined together with the word holy. And we're talking about the Word of God. This is the Holy Scriptures, isn't it? Of course, the word for holy is kyrios, and it means either sacred or holy. And so, as we think about this word grammata, which comes from graphos, it means to grave, especially to write. And it brings to my mind immediately how God graved on the tablets of stone that Moses brought up on Mount Sinai, the Ten Commandments. He literally graved them with his fingers. My friend, these Scriptures are graven by God as men were moved by the Holy Ghost and they penned the Holy Scriptures. Then the preserving work of God in continuous action so that today we have the Holy Scriptures. A friend of mine who's been responsible for publishing King James Version Bibles sent me a new study Bible recently. I can't agree, of course, with the text that's used in the study Bible. But in the introduction, the writer had this to say. It was the first sentence in the introduction. And I thought it was excellent. And I quote, he said, The Bible is a book. It may be called a collection of books compiled together into one majestic volume. As a book, it's designed to be read. In this respect, it's like all other books. But the Bible is not like any other book. It is the book of books. We customarily call this book the Holy Bible. Its holiness is found in its otherness. It is a sacred book because it transcends and stands apart from, above every other book. It is a holy book. It is holy because its ultimate author is holy. It is holy because its message is holy. It is holy because its content is designed to make us holy, end of quote. Now, I've never heard the Bible called anything but Holy Bible. I've never heard it called the Loving Bible or the Useful Bible. Instead, it's the Holy Bible. And its holiness is found in its usefulness. There's not a book that you can pick up that is like this book. It is absolutely other. A little phrase that some of us have quoted so often has almost become trite, but nevertheless it's still true. Either this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. It's designed to make you, and it's designed to make me holy. Now remember, my subject is the God of the Word and the Word of God. Have you ever pondered that not only is the author holy, but he's constantly referred to as the Holy God? Dr. Robert Roselius, a dean of Georgia Baptist College and Seminary, recently in a CAT meeting said that the greatest error that a preacher of the gospel can make is to misrepresent the character of the God that he's preaching about. That's the greatest sin that a preacher of the gospel can make. Isaiah 6:3 reads, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." In John chapter number 17, in that high priestly prayer of our Lord in verse 11, he referred to his Father as, "O Holy Father." The book is like its author. And the book reveals the fact that it is only the Holy Scriptures that reveal the Holy Father. Have you ever thought of that term in relationship to the Son? Turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 2, if you will, and notice in verse number 23, these words of Scripture, "As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord." Just pondering the text, Jesus was holy to the Lord under the law, because the law had said that every male that openeth the womb is holy unto the Lord. Interesting, isn't it, that the word holy or otherness or set apart should be spoken of in this law relationship and reminded by the Scriptures of the law in relationship to the opening of the womb. But notice, if you will, in chapter 1 of the Gospel of Luke, in verse number 35, Mary, when talking to the angel, and the Scripture says, "And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Now, you and I don't like being called a thing, do you? It makes me want to fight when someone says, "You thing." But here is the proper word. Because Jesus Christ was absolutely unique. Here was the God-man. No one else has ever been or will ever be the God-man. He is that holy thing. In verse 49 of the same chapter, Mary is praising God. And she says, "For he that is mighty hath done great things to me. He that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name." That, of course, is speaking both of the Father and the Holy Ghost. Finally, in chapter number 4 of the Gospel of Luke, and verse number 33, we read, "And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." Isn't it amazing that the demons would affirm that this Jesus is the Holy One of God? When the blasphemous film, The Last Temptation of Christ, came on the market a few years ago, they inferred that Jesus and Mary Magdalene had some sort of a sexual relationship. Some of the Promise Keepers material mentions this film and does not correct that blasphemy in trying to show the sexuality of Christ. It's a dangerous movement. What blasphemy? Jesus Christ is the Holy One of God. The demons know that, but a lot of preachers don't even know that. What I want you to see is that the Word of God reveals to us the God of the Word and that He is the Holy Son of God. Let's go back to chapter 1. And notice here in Luke 1 that our God is also the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. So when the angels or seraphim were saying in Isaiah 6:3, holy, 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 there was a lauding of the Holy Father, the Holy Son, and the Holy Spirit. I'm absolutely convinced that most of our Christians know little about the God with whom they have to do, that He is holy. And He'll either make you holy, or my friend, He'll put you in hell. We can talk about our little professions. We can talk about our decisions. We can talk about our emotions. But the holy God that you and I will meet one day will be met either on the grounds of the blood of the cross, the law satisfied, forgiveness freely given by grace through the Lord Jesus Christ, or will be cast into hell. Now when we come to the book of Revelation chapter 4 and the believer sees himself in heaven, for the church has been caught up and caught out, those beasts are proclaiming, holy, 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 the same thing that has been proclaimed from eternity past. And friend, we'll either get into God's program and become holy positionally in Christ and practically in our state, or again, we'll meet God in judgment, because a holy God loves righteousness. But here in Luke chapter 1, verse 15, speaking of John the Baptist, the scripture states, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall neither drink wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. You will notice that this one, John the Baptist, the forerunner, was going to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Again, look in Luke 1 and verse number 35. The scripture declares, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Notice the work of the Holy Ghost. Here's a virgin who's never known a man. She had conceived in her womb because God had so constructed the woman's womb in creation that the Spirit of God could put seed there. I don't understand that mystery. How she could conceive in the womb this one who is to be called the God-man. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. But notice the word Holy Ghost. Then in verse number 41, it says, and it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Notice verse 67 of the same chapter. His father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, here we have a Spirit-filled family, son, mother, and father. Every time reference is made to the Spirit of God, just about every time reference is made to the Spirit of God, He is called holy. So we have the Holy Scriptures declaring a holy God who sent a holy Son to regenerate us by the Holy Spirit that we might become a holy people. Yes, the Word of God is called the Holy Scriptures. The God who is revealed is the Holy Father, the Holy Son, and the Holy Spirit. The next thing I'd point out is the Word of God, and the God of the Word is the fact that the Word of God is truth, and the God of the Word is truth. Turn back to Daniel, please. Chapter number 10, and notice verse number 21. We read these words, but I will show thee that which is noted in the Scripture of truth. And there is none that holdeth me in these things but Michael your prince. Now catch the phrase, the Scripture of truth. Now the word here, Scripture, is the word kathab. And if I'm pronouncing it incorrectly, forgive me. It means to grave. exactly the same idea as the New Testament word. Strong's Concordance says it means the contents of or the statement from, or in other words, the Holy Writ or its document. And you will notice that it is the Scripture of truth. Remember Pilate in John 18 and verse number 38 asked, what is truth? We by implication could ask the question, where is truth? Is the truth contained in these 66 books, or is it just a part of the truth? And some more of the truth can be found in the Quran, or in the Hindu Vedas, or the Book of Mormon, or is truth only to be found, as the Jews would tell us, only in the Old Testament scriptures? No. We believe that we have the Scripture of truth. The Word of God is truth. Isn't it wonderful that in these days, when men are asking, what is truth and where is truth, that we can say we have a book that tells the truth. It tells the truth about man. One of the arguments of inspiration is that this book not only paints the good deeds, but it paints the bad deeds as well. This book paints characters, warts and all. My mother-in-law was writing a biography on her husband, the late Dr. James A. Stewart. And I said to her, Mom, paint him warts and all, like Cromwell said he wanted to be painted. She came back to me a few days later and she said, Bob, I've covered all these faults all these years, and I'm not going to uncover them now. She's an honest woman. Beloved, this is the book of truth, isn't it? Don't let anybody simply tell you it contains the truth. It's a book filled with truth. Beloved, if you don't believe that, you call God a liar. In John 17, verse number 17, he said, thy word is truth. But beloved, have you ever considered that this matter of truth is associated with the God of the Bible? Remember the Lord Jesus said in John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Remember in the book of Deuteronomy, we have in verse number 4, in chapter number 32, he is the rock, his work is perfect, for all of his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. Hallelujah, the Father is a God of truth. You see, beloved, your opinions and my opinions are only valuable insofar as they accord with the truth. Amen. You can say, I don't believe that. It doesn't make any difference whether you believe it or not. If the Bible says it, it's true. And my friend, all of us must submit to the God of truth. I'm not going to be judged by your opinions. I'm not going to be judged by my opinions. But God will judge all of us by His truth. And similarly, in the book of John, chapters 14, 15, and 16, we notice the blessed Spirit is given the title, the Spirit of Truth. That's one of the reasons I have trouble with the charismatic movement who want to preach something and push something that doesn't accord with this book. And then they try to tell me that the Holy Spirit of God told them so. Friend, that's a lie hatched in the pit of hell. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, and I'm not being unkind. We have the Scripture of truth, the God of truth, the Son that is truth, and the Holy Spirit of truth. One final thought. The Word of God and the God of the Word is perfect. The Scripture declares in Psalm number 19, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. We have thousands of laws here in North Carolina, here in North America, but not one of them can convert the soul. They only show the lawbreaker. But there's something about the power of the Word of God. It's the law of the Lord is perfect. Perfect means, the Hebrew word means perfect or plain or whole or complete according to Young's. And my friend, this Word is just like God. He's perfect. We have a perfect Father. We have a perfect Son. And we have a perfect Holy Spirit. Thank God for the Word of God and the God of the Word. Amen.